Well, everybody out there in the land of music videos, and welcome to another edition of Music Video Land Podcast. My name is Adam Fairholm of IMVDB, the Internet Music Video Database, of which this podcast is coming from. And with me is Doug Klinger, also of the IMVDB Internet Music Video Database. What's up, Doug?
Chilling, doing super good. You could have went to add the other Adam first on his birthday. I would have been okay with that.
That's true. We have also Mr. Adam Alexander Fringe Music Fix, and it happens to be his cake day, his birthday. And how's the birthday been, Adam?
It's my birthday. Good. It's a good birthday. Pretty good. A bit of a mixed bag, but overall good.
So there's two things I want to ask about that. First of all, Doug told me that you got a speeding ticket home from your birthday party. You're going too fast.
Yeah, I was just all the cake and all the excitement of the gifts. I couldn't handle it. I was just way too excited, driving a little bit too fast. Luckily, I was. What was what?
How fast were you going?
Yeah, how fast were you going? That's what
I wanted to ask. I think it was a 90 kilometers speed zone, and I think I was doing 120. So I was giving her a little bit.
That's need a translation.
It wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad.
I don't know what that is in our numbers.
I can't. Yeah, I can't convert that for you either.
Hold on. How many kilometers were you going?
120.
Okay, so you were going 74 miles an hour, not bad at all, and a 90, which is a 55. It's bad enough.
It's kind of bad.
It's not like stunt racing.
Yeah, I've gotten tickets for less than that.
It's birthday cake fueled adrenaline.
I've been with you in Kansas getting tickets for less. So
that was the worst. Yeah, we got pulled over for like a tiny town, and I was going like 40 and a 25. But anyway, about speeding tickets. Of course, this is a podcast about music videos. If this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, I don't know what brought you here, but welcome. And we're talking about music videos this week. And there's a lot happening in this week in terms of both just large scale videos coming out and also like newsworthy videos. So I don't know what you guys wanted to start with first, the big ones or the large scale. I would like to start with a video that we have been waiting for a little bit, and that is Dark Horse by Katy Perry.
Yeah, let's start there. I think we should have Adam Alexander talk about this because he left work today and went into his car and watched this video on his phone. He was so excited. He couldn't contain himself. He wasn't allowed to watch it at his desk, so he snuck in his car on his birthday and watched Katy Perry Dark Horse music video featuring Juicy J, directed by Matthew Cullen. So let's have it.
I had to do it. I had to sneak away. Couldn't wait. At 3 o'clock rolled around. I thought about waiting till the end of the shift, but there was no way that was happening. So, you know, you got it. So that's how it goes. The music video addict. Eh? So this video it was a big one. It was voted for a while. Katy dropped a lyric video first, and then we got like a little teaser, and like they did that whole drawn out thing. And basically, it is a Egyptian-themed music video, and there is a bit of a story to it. First of all, Katy Perry plays like a Cleopatra character, and there is a name for this character. I'm not sure what it is at the moment, but she has a nickname for this character, Katy Patra or something. You guys remember what this is? Did you read this?
Was there a reader's guide or something like that that went along with this?
Well, I think there might be, but I think it was actually in the teaser where it was something to the effect of presenting Katy Patra or some. It was a pun or a play on a Cleopatra kind of thing.
Right.
So
I wanted when this video came out earlier this afternoon, Doug and I were talking about it on Skype, and Doug's like in the beginning of the video, it says Memphis, Egypt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Doug's like, well, that's like, that's not a real place. But it
is. I didn't go. That's definitely not a real place. I just was like,
so it is a real place.
I just said it like lame. Memphis, Egypt.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So is this a real place? Did you fact check this?
It is. It is a real place. Memphis is just like many cities in the United States. Memphis is not the first city to have its name, although it doesn't have like a new Memphis on it. Memphis is one of the lesser known Egyptian cities. But
the reason that I thought it was fake is because Juicy J is from Memphis, obviously, if that wasn't clear, and Juicy J features on this song. And so that's why I thought, obviously, that's they're still doing that on it. Like, it is a real place, but the joke is still that Juicy J is from Memphis. It's still the same joke.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that. Okay. Now I feel like a jerk.
Well, no, I mean, it's still a real place. I thought they were just being like completely stupid, like, oh, let's just say Memphis, Egypt. No one's gonna I was thinking too low of them, but it still is like a Juicy J joke, because yeah, Juicy J is from Memphis. Well, and excuse me, and Matthew Cullen directed California Girls, so
that's right. Okay, he does have a connection too. And this is very California Girls esque. There's a lot of really super bright colors. The plot of the video is took me out of it a little bit, because I don't really understand. What is going on? I mean, you're right, Adam. There's like a kind of like a basic plot of these people are like bringing her gifts. It's sort of like if you've seen Game of Thrones, you know, the wedding scene forget her name. I forget everybody's name in Game of Thrones. You know what I'm talking about. Where they bring gifts and stuff like that. But the thing is, like, the gifts are they're either themed, or it just starts to be like a pileup of kind of weird shit happening. And then I'm not really sure why she's melting everybody into sand after they give the gifts. It seems a little ungrateful to me.
Well, because they haven't done it. They haven't given her what she's looking for. And I think it's important to mention that this is it's Egyptian, but it's not like regular like Egypt in real life. Like, they're wearing like Nike shoes and everyone's like blue. Like, this is some kind of weird, like, trippy Egypt. Not the regular Egypt that we've all been to.
There is a really odd sort of moment where it just sort of switches to Katy Perry doing, like, on a stripper pole, which is not really something we've seen her doing before. This is during the Juicy J thing, and she's got, like, a skirt on. Obviously, they're trying to go for, like, a very kind of California Girls-esque Egyptian land. But that seems to come a little bit out of left field. My favorite part is the stupid dog that comes in, and she's like, I don't know, doesn't like the dog, and then the dog like does a walk away. That's my favorite part of the video.
I think she's melting people so she can get more of their shit. Like, I don't know.
So myself personally, I definitely feel like the way that I was able to kind of accept and like this video, it would seem more than the general consensus of the internet, is that I was kind of able to just ignore that little narrative portion of the video and just watch it as eye candy. Like, if you like, the visual aspects of the video are really well done. The style and the costumes and the sets and all the post editing type stuff. It was a great looking video. So I just kind of ignored all that other crap that was going on.
Like her getting caught, like a big-ass bowl of hot Cheetos for no reason.
Exactly.
Oh my God, I forgot the hot Cheetos.
Exactly. And she drinks from the Stanley Cup at one point.
Like, it's fucking hot Cheetos. But it does look really, like, nice and expensive. I do like the statue scene where she's, like, part of a statue. But, yeah, the part where, like the Sphinx behind her, like, sings. Does that remind anybody else of Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. What was that guy's name on? What was the
Omek.
Omek, yeah. He had a name, right. Okay.
Omek. This is a very Omek-inspired video. Omek would fucking love this video.
Maybe he's watching somewhere.
What was that guy? I can't remember. Orlando. I can't remember that guy's name, though. What was his name? He would come, like, swinging in at the beginning, like, the actual host. Like, yeah, the host, like, that needed, like, the help of a big rock monster to host his show. But, yeah, he would come swinging in.
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
You guys lost me on this reference.
Well, you know what? funny story about that is that I moved from Canada when I was 8 years old, which would have been 1993. and we didn't have Nickelodeon up in Canada. We had YTV. I had never seen any of these shows before, and I was just – I lost many hours of my life to, like, all the new American shows. Because I just – we just came. I turned on the TV, and it was just, like – that was, like, the heyday of, like, you know, Legends of the Hidden Temple, and, like, Clarissa Explains It All, and all this crazy shit. And I just was, like, super overwhelmed by it. Because YTV, even though we had, like – you can't do that on television – there was, it was, it kind of sucked. I don't know. There wasn't anything that was super memorable from it.
This was a good time for the kids' TVs. You had, like, fucking Rugrats and shit.
Yeah, yeah, like Rugrats. I'd never seen Rugrats. I'd never seen, like, Rocko's Modern Life or Ren and Stimpy or any of that stuff.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Hold on.
I'm trying to see. It was Kirk Fogg. That's a good
Kirk Fogg! Hi, I'm Kirk Fogg. I just came swinging it on a vine. And this is Legends of the Hidden Temple. So you ready, Omek?
For any TV watchers who have no clue what we're talking about, Legends of the Hidden Temple was a 90s game show on American TV network Nickelodeon that was basically like a obstacle course. Basically, every game show in that era, like, boiled down to it's an obstacle course. With
foam, it's like you're in an obstacle course in a different place. Like, this one, you're in an obstacle course in a video game. This one, you're in an obstacle course with mud. Yeah.
So we haven't really said if we like this video or not. I mean, Adam, you said you like this video. You kind of got past
I back it. I definitely back it. I was, like I said, there's some crazy crap going on. And there's a kind of that one kind of video that she does. She does the kind of the sad ones, and she does ones that have lots of crazy crap going on. So this one's a crazy crap one, but it looks good. I back it. It's a good looking video.
This one's the crazy crap one.
I thought it was a very nice looking video. And actually, I didn't even notice that Matt Cullen had directed the California Girls, but it makes a lot of sense. It doesn't have the pacing of California Girls. California Girls is such a well paced video. It kind of builds. You don't even think of California Girls as a song that builds, but it the video helps it along with that. You got the build up to the gummy, you know, her having the things that squirt out whipped cream and over the gummy bears. Even though I can't believe, you know, that I'm saying that shit like that into a microphone, I think it loses a little bit in the pacing, but you know, otherwise she gives a good performance too as whatever Katy Petra. I'm not gonna use that. She can't make me say that.
No, she can't. She's not allowed to give herself a nickname. You can't do that. So anything else? Were there other popular stuff? A lot of the stuff that's on this list that we're looking at now is going to be off the list, but I think it's worth talking about. We didn't talk about this J. Cole She Knows video last week, although it came out last week. What do you guys think of this one?
Really good. Definitely a fan of that one.
I love this song, by the way. Can we say that?
Oh, yeah.
How good is this song? Oh, holy cow.
Really good. Awesome sample source.
I really didn't love J. Cole, but man, I like this song. Okay, so there's a son at the beginning of the video. And you see him, he's kind of like, you know, a little bit, excuse me, he's kind of being a little bit rebellious. You see him kind of like stealing some money from his dad's drawer or something like that. His dad takes him to school. He ends up ditching school and, like, you know, hanging out with his buddy, skateboarding, you know, causing mild trouble. Then he ends up going home later in the day, and he sees his mom cheating on his dad with J. Cole. And then that's J. Cole in the video. And I actually didn't catch that the first time I watched it.
No, I didn't catch it until I didn't know that till right now.
So that's J. Cole in the house cheating with this kid's hot-ass mom. And and then, like, later in the video, you just kind of see him with his dad again, and it's like the same, you know, you can tell his dad is, and his dad is played by that guy from Oz.
He's also from Lost as well.
Oh yeah, Lost. I can't remember that guy's name, but he's in it, and he's really great, and he plays the dad, and he
So what happens after the guy catches her cheating with J. Cole?
So the kid doesn't really
just have, like, an awkward dinner. After that,
yeah,
and it never comes out.
Yeah, and it just kind of changes. It changes that dynamic because this kid is still going to be, like, rebellious, and the dad is still going to be frustrated by it and stuff. And, like, it's still going to be the same dynamic in the family, but it, like, just completely, like, changes like everything in that family. The fact that this kid knows that his mom is cheating on his dad with J. Cole, and that you know, and like, and now like the kid kind of feels bad for the dad, like, but like he stole from him too, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's taking advantage of his dad also, this dad character. And so I don't know, it's just like a lot of layers and stuff. It was like, and I thought that it went with the song so well. I felt like, you know, this is that J. Cole was like, J. Cole is the shining example for us of you know, not having the right video for a song. And I think that this was absolutely the right video for this song. It seemed to fit so perfectly. And yeah, I like this a lot. This was one of my favorites from last week for sure. It came late in the week, came out on late Friday.
Directed by Sam Pilling, we should mention.
Sam Pilling, right. It is Sam Pilling. Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. So yeah, that's kind of how I read it. You read it the same way, Adam Alexander?
Yeah, basically. There was one part that kind of confused me. Maybe you can try to clear it up, because one of the important things in the video, I think, is the friendship between the two young boys, the boy that he ditches school to hang out with. And after the scene where he catches his mom with J. Cole, he gets upset and he kind of runs away, and it seems like a friend is really upset with him, and then they're very angry at each other. And I wasn't quite sure what that exchange would have been about, but then they kind of make up. But it seemed like an important part of the story that I didn't quite get what they would have been mad at each other about.
Well, so I think that the main character, the main kid who catches his mom cheating, is just frustrated, and he kind of books it, and the other friend, at least the way I see it, like, has no idea why the dude is even running. He's just running too. They just like run together. He's pissed. Like, the kid is like starting to ask him like, what's going on, you know, and he was like just kind of frustrated. The kid was like frustrated, lashing out. And although he reacted with, you know, like physically back, the friend, I still read that as kind of like being supportive, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
'Cause you do see them together. Like, he met that physical reaction back with pushing him back, but, you know, he still is kind of like, that's how they work through it. And he ended up being like, they ended up getting him, calming him down by being kind of still there for him. And so that's kind of how I read that, for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. Actually, it was perfect. The scene just played as you explained it, and it made total sense to me.
Cool, everyone do that. Everyone rewind me and hit play and do that. So yeah, that's kind of how I saw it. But yeah, I really enjoyed that one. It surprised me. Valentine's Day came out on Valentine's Day, and Valentine's Day ended up being a pretty big day for videos. A lot of stuff came out. 27 videos in all already that we have in the database that came out on Valentine's Day. So it was definitely a big day for music videos, and a lot of good stuff came out that day that we obviously didn't cover last week.
I would like to talk about the video that came out this morning, that or yesterday, which would have been Wednesday, that is kind of interesting in a news context, because one of the stories that come out of the Winter Olympics has been, you know, all the political unrest and things like that, especially with, you know, protests going on, or civil war basically going on in Ukraine and Kiev, just next door basically. And in all this, the members of Pussy Riot came in and, you know, kind of disrupted things, and the story that came out of it that was that police were, you know, assaulting them and whipping them and stuff like that. And it turns out that during that, they were actually making a music video for a song that has, like, one of my favorite titles of all time, Putin Will Teach You How to Love. And it came out yesterday, or, you know, sometime, you know, on Wednesday.
On the 20th.
Evening. Yeah, on the 20th, yeah. It was Wednesday, or Thursday, UTC time. And, you know, you kind of don't think of Pussy Riot as a group that, I mean, they're so politically involved, you kind of forget that they actually have songs and stuff. And, you know, I'm not really sure about the merits of the song. It's sort of like a punk rock song a little bit. But the video is interesting because it's a different perspective of things you were seeing on the news. Like, you can actually watch news clips and see a guy and see the cameraman for this music video.
Right, and it was pretty clear, like, because the day before this video came out, the footage of them being assaulted and beat up by police came out, and you could see tons of people around them with cameras. They were ready with cameras. It seemed like they were like ran out there, like threw their shit down, like acted like they were performing for like seconds, and then they're immediately just like just wrecked by these cops. And then and so you know, obviously they knew that that was going to happen. They were acting quickly, but it was pretty clear that they were kind of looking to seem like they were performing. At least they had microphones in their hand and stuff and guitars out when that stuff came out. And then yeah, the fact that it came out the very next day, you know, the, with the dudes, and they're not just they're not it's not just that scene, they're all kind of all over Sochi, in front of the Olympic signs, and weirdly enough, what as far as I can tell is the actual mascot from the Olympics or something. Is that correct?
Yeah, they have like three Olympic mascots, and it looks like it's an actual mascot. I don't know how the hell they would have pulled off creating a fake
one. Oh, man, that mascot, there's going to be an Onion article about that mascot coming up, showing up dead. Dude in the mascot accidentally fell on 10 knives. So the song, it's interesting too. I'm curious what the lyrics are. I'm pretty sure they're very similar to the title. Like she's like weirdly sarcastic in these lyrics. Like they're so abrasive and in your face, Pussy Riot is, and obviously very passionate. But like there's this interesting like tinge of sarcasm in the song title.
And yeah, and it's funny because the only part I can make out is you hear them say Putin, but it does sound like kind of like a sarcastic, you know, like because these are being called, you know, games that are, you know, championed and sort of put on by Vladimir Putin, so they're it's kind of a logical target for them to go after him. And I found this whole thing kind of funny, especially when they're dancing with the mascot. It's such a funny thing because he's, you know, every Olympics has these ridiculous, I don't even know why they have the mascots. I think it's just to sell more stuff. Vancouver had, and it's always some, like, you know, bear or something.
I love the mascots.
See, there you go. That's what.
Well, Vank, do they have mascots for the Summer Olympics? The only ones I can remember are the Winter Olympics ones.
I think they do, but it's like less important because like there's more like diversity in the sports. I think maybe not. I don't fucking know what I'm talking about.
But it's true. The Olympics are pissing me off because I've been watching. Like, I don't even know how many more things they can do going through that half pipe.
Yeah, just, right, exactly. It's like now we're rolling marbles down that lid. I don't think it matters, but it's definitely like some shitty, like, you know, like, you know, flamey, and it's like the torch, and it's like a torch mascot or something dumb like that. Like, there's always that dumb shit. Yeah, and it is. It's just to sell dolls and t-shirts.
Well, it's like
I can buy them all. That's. I buy all the dolls and t-shirts.
What specifically is Pussy Riot? Is it just like Russia? They just are protesting Russia, or are there specific things? Is it how they're treating the gay community? Like, what is it?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a whole bunch of things. I mean, I haven't followed it too closely, but yeah. Yeah, gay rights and women's rights and all kinds of different things. I'm not really well educated on it, but
I think that one of the points, because the reason the three members were arrested is because they were protesting in a Russian Orthodox church, which is sort of like the kind of national church of Russia or national religion, like the Anglican Church is for England. But there is supposedly a lot of corruption there, and I think a lot of their protests are against corruption and sort of collusion between, you know, the Russian Orthodox Church and the Russian government. And I'm sure you don't have to go too far to find corruption and you know, on Russia on high levels, apparently. So I think it's a lot of it has to do with that.
Man, well, this is direct action as big as it comes. And it's, do you think these music videos will, like, and this song and this protest will, like, live with the memory of these Olympics? I mean, these Olympics have kind of been just like
awful.
Like a fucking clusterfuck of just weird shit happening one thing after another. Like, do you think specifically this music video will be part of that narrative forever? I mean, I don't remember seeing like a, you know, a half a million in a day music video with like protesting Vancouver Olympics, like fucking like I don't remember that going down. So
that's true. This may actually have a little bit of an impact. I think that the thing that Pussy Riot has going for them is they have a really good branding thing going on with the colored ski masks.
Yeah, definitely. And they're fucking. They went into it knowing they were obviously going to be removed physically from where they were going. But man, is it fucking hard to watch that. Like, it's heavy stuff that they did for this. On that note,
did you guys watch this Avicii Addicted to You video directed by Sebastian Ringler? Or Doug, you're saying you didn't watch this music video.
I didn't. I missed this one. It's probably good though. Sebastian Ringler is a really good director.
It's definitely good. It's very cool.
This is his second video for Avicii. I definitely like the You Make Me video. Why didn't I watch this video?
So, Adam, I have a question for you, because this is one of those videos that I have. I get the whole plot, but I have one burning question. So for anybody who's not watched this video, this is kind of like a Bonnie and Clyde thing with two women.
Thelma and Louise thing, maybe.
Yeah, Thelma and Louise thing, if it was in the time of Bonnie and Clyde.
Sure.
But there's just one, like, there's like 2 seconds in this thing that I just do not get. And it is after they have done like a few bank robberies, and it shows some sort of like hotel room, and these two ladies are kind of making out on a hotel bed. And then, but around them is like 10 totally nude guys staring at them. And you just see their backsides, you see their butts. And I've tried for days to kind of, in my mind, figure out what the hell is going on here. Because it is like, it's like 2 seconds and it is a complete non sequitur. And I was wondering if anybody had any explanation for this.
So this is actually pretty funny, but prior to the podcast today, I was over at my parents' for my birthday dinner. And I decided that I would watch a few of the videos just to catch up on the weeks, whatever we might talk about. I didn't realize this one was from last week at the time. So I watched a few of these videos with my parents, and that particular scene with the men's butts, my dad hated that scene. That was where the video lost it for him, right there. That exact scene. He's like, why would they put that in there?
I don't blame your dad at all. I'm kind of with your dad.
It does seem kind of randomly inserted into there. But of course, my mom said, if it was women's butts, you wouldn't be complaining. And he said, yes, I would. And yeah, so that's how that...
One of the guys has slacks on, and he's lifting weights, so...
I think it's just randomly inserted.
But there has to be some... This is a very sort of heavy narrative video. It has like a full narrative arc. At the end, they die. I just don't understand. Like, are they just like... How did that whole situation happen? Because they're obviously, if those two are like romantically involved with each other, why do they invite a bunch of like naked dudes over to stand at them and watch? And I don't know.
We got to get Sebastian Ringler to answer that question.
Yeah, do you have a direct line to him? Can we call him right now?
I don't have a direct line, but we'll get that answer. We'll get that question answered. I guarantee that.
Yeah, because I don't know. It just seems very odd to me.
You can follow one of the butts with the camera.
Yeah, there has to be some sort of meaning here. But other than that, I find she takes out like, spoiler alert, she takes out like a whole police force with her when she dies, which is kind of a dick move. I don't know.
It's not necessary. Those people have families.
I know. Seriously, like if you want to rob banks, it's fine. But like, don't blame the people who are trying to stop you from robbing a fucking bank.
I think for the sake of a 3-minute video, though, it gave some kind of a cool bit of closure to it. I mean, it's not real life. It's a music video. I kind of liked the ending. I have to back that ending.
Fucking Adam drops a, it's not real life. It's a music video on it.
But this, and then the funny thing about this video is that every time you see cash, it's like the dirtiest wadded up cash in the world. It's like cash that I would handle with gloves. It's just anyway. But it was a good video. It's I like the, I haven't actually seen the whole kind of retro thing, like 1950s thing done in a music video in a while.
Sebastian Ringler, he's a really good director in three pretty different videos that he's done in the last couple of months here.
Yeah, You Make Me video was fantastic, and then he's got the Cassette Run for Cover, which was another really interesting video.
So cool, that was fun. What else we got? Carrie Pamu.
I knew you'd go there.
Yeah, I'm waiting for her to blow my mind again. This video is fun, like for the rest of hers, but like, you know, I like her others better, I think.
You're trying to pigeonhole her into the crazy pun Japanese pixie girl kind of thing.
I'm not trying to pigeonhole her. It's just this video did not make the same impact.
Yeah, she took it down a notch. I agree. It's good, but it's down a notch from the previous videos.
It's still really great video. It's a really great video. But like, I wouldn't, you know, if somebody was like, you know, if I can only watch one Carrie Pommy Pommy video, what would it be? It's Pon Pon Pon. Come on, guys.
Would that be on your music video Desert Island list?
Yeah, probably. We don't have it. No, I don't know. I don't know. It's up. I mean, I think it represents a whole like ass. It represents like a whole genre, I think.
So this video was directed by Jun Tamukai, and I think it's important to kind of note this has a little bit of a plot. And we should also note that Jun Tamukai directs all of Carrie Pamo Pamo's videos. There's like kind of a plot where it's like she's going through different stages in her life, I guess. I hope I'm reading this right. She starts off as a small person on her knees, and I don't know, it just goes through different kind of stages in her life. It's not like a Benjamin Button thing or anything like that, where he goes through his whole life, but she ends up being her age, I guess, at the end. But it's just different stages and phases, and I obviously have no fucking clue what I'm talking about. But this
it definitely is what happens in this video.
But the thing that freaked me out is the characters that have like that they have masks that look like you took a shriveled up balloon and cut eye holes in them, and yeah. It just was distracting to me.
It's weird. I think and she sees like a bunch of versions of herself too. Let's not forget that part. It's important. She cries when she grows older.
Much like I did.
Yeah, I was going to say, like we all do. Adam, yeah. you turned...
34.
You turned 34, and did you shed tears for the fact that you've gotten this far? You outlived Jesus.
I outlived Jesus. That's a good way to look at it. I like that. That's a perspective. That's the secret. I've outlived Jesus.
I know. Jesus has got nothing on you.
And I've watched a lot more fucking videos than Jesus, too.
Yeah, Jesus didn't even know what music videos were.
Exactly.
I
have accomplished some stuff.
Yeah.
It's good.
If Jesus were alive, he would probably have enjoyed the comfortable video by The Knox.
Let's talk about that. I loved it.
That is a good one. Definitely
directed by Ace Norton. This is one of the. This is a very sexy video. Obviously, because there's sexy ladies in it, but it is one of those. It's one of those videos taking place in a fancy place with fancy sexy ladies, and then we've got The Knox. I think it's featuring somebody, right?
Ex ambassadors,
right? And they're kind of playing in this like on a dance floor, and these ladies come over. It's in a private mansion, a very nice looking house, and they kind of come over and start messing with them. And then the entire video is not non sequiturs; they're all sort of related, but it's very, very interesting images.
Very Ace Norton-esque, like images that are placed in there. You know, if you look at a lot of Ace Norton's previous work. You know, this feels very much like an Ace Norton video.
Because what would be one that's sort of... my favorite Ace Norton video is Don't Leave Me by Regina Spektor. I thought that was a great video.
Some that have this kind of feel to it, though, would definitely... Or like these kind of like moments, like these kind of setup kind of vignettes... That this video has, and you know, like this one's like the when you got the lady under the rug and that kind of thing. There's it reminds me a little bit of some moments in The Going In by Jennifer Lopez. If you remember, like it had all these little vignettes of like colorful fire hydrant spraying paint out like that, and then also his video for I want it because he did two Foster the People videos, I think, for the Call It What You Want video. Also has some similar little vignettes in there, like this video does. It's that don't necessarily narratively tie into the plot, but they're definitely like styled, like the rest of the video is styled.
If you're a young, attractive lady in LA, are you just constantly being bombarded for offers to do shit like this?
I think that there is 500 million ladies like this in LA.
Really?
I think that this lady is there are a lot of these ladies. Not to discredit the talent of the ones in this video, or the ones in other videos, or the ones that aren't in any videos and they're out there now. But I think skinny model looking lady, I think if you're in LA, that's where you're going to find most of them.
It's just like, if I can't imagine kind of being a person and then someone coming up to me and saying, okay, so I want you to be in this video in your underwear, and I want you to lie under a rug, and we're going to with your butt hanging out with high heels on, and we are going to film that, and here is your money.
Here is, or it's like, and you can put this on your resume.
Yeah, exactly.
You get zero money. The Knox are really great in this video too. This is by far my favorite the Knox video, other than of course the video they did with OMG Everywhere in New York City.
So Doug, tell us about your number one super favorite video of the week.
Well, Jesus, I've only IMVDB picked two videos from this week. Gee, I gotta pick more.
It's been a super heavy week for us.
So I'm gonna go with the Knox video as my favorite. I suck.
Well, that was short and sweet, I guess.
Wait, here's something we could talk about before we go. Did anyone watch Cookies for Later by Liam Lynch?
No.
Guys,
Cookies for Later. I almost did.
Do you guys know who Liam Lynch is?
No. Wait, was this a video?
I've seen some stuff. It's on the homepage right now. It's sitting at 1.6K. Liam Lynch is he had a show called Stifflin' Ollie on MTV. What was it, with sock puppets? He directed a lot of the Tenacious D. He's directed a couple of Tenacious D music videos, I think. But he directed like their old HBO show, and he also directed the movie Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny. And he also had that song Whatever, the United States of Whatever. I don't know if you get it. Remember that. Anyway, Cookies for Later is the dumbest video ever, but it's fucking so much fun, and it's just him rapping about having cookies for later, not for now, for later.
Liam Lynch directed a Tribute by Tenacious D,
yeah,
in 2001, and also Perfect Night by Sarah Silverman for the Jash Network, which features Will I Am, which that's kind of fun.
And then he directed a Craigslist video by Weird Al.
So I don't know. It says Cookies for Later. It's just the thumb is just him with like some cookies and
a bag of cookies.
So I want to talk about my favorite
because okay.
I'm super selfish like that. So I'm doing a video that came out on Friday on Valentine's Day, but it was of course one of these premieres. We had to put a quarter in a box or whatever to see it. So we couldn't see it until like Monday or whatever, put it on the site, and that is Diplo Biggie Bounce. And this is one of those videos that kind of combines being a video and being like a documentary, or I guess a skit or something like that, because Diplo goes to, and I want to get the name of it right, it's a Moose Lodge, but let me just get where it is. It's the Jonesboro. Yeah, last year, July 22nd, 2013, I don't know where the Jones... Let me look where the Jonesboro Moose Lodge is.
It's important.
Yeah, Moose Lodge, here we go. Oh, it's in Georgia, okay. No, Jonesboro, Arkansas. Okay, there we go, that makes more sense. So they basically... It's like this, like, if you've never been to, like, an American Legion or Moose Lodge or whatever, this is kind of... it's like a very small club or whatever with a lot of older people. There's like little wooden bowls of chips and
like
stuff.
Like a dive bar.
This is the thing. We have one bar here where I live, and this is the bar where I live. This is the bar. This is it. So I love this video too.
This is very... Is this the same crowd?
Oh yeah, definitely. Just nice. Add me in and you've got it. And Diplo has never played there, but I wish he would come. Amazing.
It's full of like older people.
Oh yeah,
and well, not some younger people, I guess.
When exactly you're
at the bar scene.
No twerking though.
There's no twerking.
But they're definitely like rural people or something.
Oh yeah, they're a breed. They're a breed. They're a kind. They're a type of person.
Yeah, they're like people you would find in a Moose Lodge and
Bible Belt,
and so people who have never heard of Diplo, basically. Let's just say that.
Right.
So Diplo comes in and he, you know, does his DJ thing, and he's got Travis Porter and Anger Dimas, which is an interesting name to say, and some two ladies who are twerking, and kind of fun ensues, but it switches between this like. When the video first came up, I was expecting it to say like 1996 or something, because they're filming it in with like a really shitty like Sony Handycam at first, and then it goes into, you know, full production values mode, and kind of switches between those two. And I'm kind of a sucker for these videos where like people are enjoying other things that they normally wouldn't, and there's no. Doesn't feel as like exploitative. It just feels like these guys kind of went in and had a good time.
I think they're legitimately oblivious to who Diplo is or what is going on. These people had no idea that this was going to happen that night when they went to the bar. Do you guys feel that way too?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or is it staged? No, they just like showed.
No, Diplo, I don't think it's staged.
He just showed up.
And definitely in like even in Jonesboro, Arkansas, if anybody advertised anywhere that Diplo is going to be at the, you know, Jonesboro Moose Lodge, the place would have been packed.
So yeah, with kids and hipsters and yeah, for sure.
Yeah, anyone within 100 miles who likes Diplo could and would conceivably do that. You don't even have to be as big as Diplo to get that. 30,000 followers, you go anywhere. You could just tweet it and you got yourself a stew going.
Is Diplo only have 30,000 followers?
No, of course not. I'm just saying that's all you need. Diplo's got millions, I think. I don't know how many
followers. Oh yeah, he'd have millions. I would assume.
This video to me feels like a little bit like back when it was on the Ali G show, Borat's Throw the Jew Down the Well performance. You guys remember that?
I do, yeah. I recorded a cover of that song.
Oh my god, did you really? That's fantastic when that just came out.
And it's called In My Country There's Problem.
That's okay, great. It's not called Throw the Jew Down the Well, right? Although that is the chorus. So yeah, this feels like it's kind of like that, because in that video as well, in that Borat video, he kind of wins the crowd over too, and you get people singing along with Throw the Jew Down the Well. And so a little bit of that, going on of the people like maybe not necessarily getting there's a joke, but having a joke of their own about it and kind of enjoying it. And so, because like the thing is, like in this Diplo video, like he really like he wears like a nice suit jacket a little bit. Like he sets up, he doesn't have like a full Diplo stage set going. Like he's got like a shitty computer with like Diplo written in tape on it and like disco balls behind him. But like he looks like he's legitimately up here trying. And then it's a good song, you know. The other rappers all give it their all as well. They buy into the whole thing too. And you're right. It doesn't feel like they're exploiting anybody. It's more of putting Diplo and the guys outside of their element rather than, you know, kind of shining a negative light on the element that they go to.
So I can still remember all the lyrics to In My Country There Is Problem.
It's a great video. That was back before I fucking hated Sacha Baron Cohen. I guess I don't hate him ever, but
that before, was before that was before Borat had its own movie. It was just a segment on the Ali G show.
Right. There was I think there might have been the Ali G movie at that point, but that was like they made that like an actual movie. Like that's terrible. You guys ever seen
Ali, yeah, the Ali G movie is not great. But Borat obviously worked as a great movie.
Right.
An American classic.
Yeah, it kind of is. Alexander, what's your favy?
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to cheat a little bit here. I'm going to talk about one that came out on Friday. I only saw it on the weekend, and it's kind of an under-the-radar video, so I feel like it'd be cool to give it a little bit more publicity, because it's a pretty damn cool video. It's by an artist named River with two V's that I'm not familiar with aside from this video. And the song is called Lamu, and the director was Mathieu Grimard. So he's from Montreal, apparently, which I read somewhere. And so the video is a really cool a very beautiful video, actually. It accompanies kind of an electronic track, and the video is basically the setup is that every shot of every individual in the video is shown behind either a window or some form of texture or some kind of a surface. And there's not really a narrative to the video at all, but it's all shot in, like, it looks really great in HD. It's a really cool-looking video. And, yeah, so that's the one that I definitely want to plug. You guys should definitely check that one out for sure. Did you guys see this one?
Yeah,
it's Staff Pick, right, eh?
Yeah. So that came out last week. Jesus, I've Staff Picked one video so far this fucking week. All right, I gotta get on.
This is the biggest week for us ever.
I gotta get on this. There has to be other good videos. And
there are some good ones. There are. I could have grabbed some other ones that came out this week.
Obviously gonna staff pick the cookies one.
Well, you gotta staff pick the cookies one.
That is some good stuff. Fine. Cookies so for later.
This was an interesting video because I watched it and I was kind of waiting for something to happen, but then I realized that the fact that nothing was happening was the point, and it was one of those sort of called the gazer videos where you're just supposed to look at stuff. And there was the have you guys have any of you been watching House of Cards?
Oh yeah, for sure.
And so in season two, there's the one of the early episodes starts with a guy with his bag over his head. Participating in some autoerotic asphyxiation. So I saw this guy with a bag over his head, and I just kind of assumed that's what was going on. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, now that being said, I said it was a non-narrative video, but I do feel like there's probably a backstory implied for each of the individuals, and the guy with the bag over his head, there's definitely some kind of a story to that. That's what I got from it anyway.
I like the there's the two, my favorite is the two guys in the window of this sort of little eatery. I don't know why. They're just like two dudes, and one of them is eating, one of them isn't. It's like the, you know, the six word short story kind of thing in music video form. Really interesting.
One to watch.
Here's one to watch, kids.
I got my cookies for later. Sorry.
Why would you keep your cookies for later, though? I also like the... This is also one from last Saturday, but the Rex... or the Avian video by Mac Miller.
Yeah, that's got to be one Doug likes. I remember he said he likes when another actor mouths the lyrics to the song, right?
Yeah.
This one's entirely...
You didn't watch it? That's a staff pick.
I think this should be a staff pick because it's entirely mouthed by this sort of old, bald, Zen guru, I guess you'd call him. He seems to be
some sort of a guru, I think. Yeah,
and it's just funny because Mac Miller has this style that is, it's not like. So like technically fast or whatever or going so fast, he like you can clearly understand like literally everything he says, and the guy who is rapping this or is mouthing this is able to also understand that and put like different emotions into what Mac Miller is saying. Like he has this whole kind of segment about, he makes a joke about blind people and then immediately respond like apologizes for it in the same verse. And the guy like has a really interesting like kind of take on it. You know, he's not really doing much. He's like by pools, and there's one where he's like sitting cross-legged with a little bird, and it's like one of the most interesting combinations of, you know, this style where it's somebody who is mouthing the lyrics that isn't the artist.
I had to pull one out from this week that actually came out this week, I'd go with London Grammar's "Hey Now." That would probably be my favorite.
Yeah, that is such a good video. It's a really good video, and it's directed by Chris Eulens, I think is how you say his name, who has really made some really great stop motion music videos. Do you guys remember the Two Fingers Vengeance rhythm video from last year? It actually came out in 2012, but it was. It had this stuffed animal like bears and stuff, like just like stabbing the hell out of each other and that kind of thing. You remember, like, blood everywhere and stuff like that? You guys got to remember this.
Definitely not seen this one. I'm watching it
and
live.
Then also and then Adam Fairholme, I know you definitely remember this stop motion one, the Sex by Slugabed video. It was South by Southwest shortlisted. It had like the trees growing in like the machine. It was like a juicer or something.
Oh, I remember it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was like a juicer. It's kind of like a Tim and Eric style at the beginning. Yeah, London Grammar's getting staff picked. How about it?
We're just giving out staff picks like crazy right now. Just you get a staff pick. You get a staff pick.
And you get a London Grammar. I don't. What?
Well, there's also a music video. I asked on Twitter if there's any videos that we should be watching, and we had a response from somebody who said a Lucky X Boomin' video. Which we'll link to in the show notes, or will be in the little music video list on the site. And I watched it, and definitely take a look. It's basically him on a cell phone, but it's filmed really interesting. And he also I love when they do this. He after his conversation is done, he snaps the cell phone in half like they do
with House of Cards.
I like it. Yeah, I thought it was actually pretty good. It came out today actually. So check that video out by Lucky X Boomin.
There's also a really weird video that came out this week with Misha Barton in it, so check that out.
Super weird one.
Wait, which one was this?
It's coming Through by Willis Earl Beale featuring Cat Power. It's got 13,000 views, and it looks like it was shot on GL2.
I was actually, yeah, as you're saying long. That, I just happened to come across it. Wow.
It's 10 minutes long. It's more of like a short film, but it's got the full song at the end.
At the end, yeah. Yeah, it's good. Willis Earl Beale is he's kind of an emerging artist, and he's building quite a following. He's a really good singer songwriter, kind of like a soul style, and then it's got Misha Barton too, and then it's this cool Church of Nothing idea that I thought was pretty funny. Their Bible is just porn inside of it. I like it's that. Just,
it's
I like
strange.
That.
10 minutes and 48 seconds. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nope.
Oh, they've got time for it.
Not even for Misha Barton.
No, we have time for that. I'll watch it.
Do it, Adam. You like it. It's good. Then there was another, just one more, maybe not a staff pick. If IMDb was my site, and I am secretly plotting to steal it, I would staff pick this Face and Heels Black Eyes. It's a cool one. It's kind of like a computer animated video. And it's just kind of like shapes that become figures and skulls, and I like that kind of thing. So that would be a staff pick for me.
We need your expertise, Adam, because you post like 4,000 times
a day. You post way more than us. Did you watch the Dum Dum Girls video this week, Adam?
Yeah, I love the track. The video is good, but not like staff pick material. But that song is one of the best on their new album for sure.
Yeah, it's such a good song. It really is. But and then what about the Duke Dumont "I Got You" video?
Yeah, that's a good one. That one is potential staff pick material, I would think. I like but give it a watch, and you.
No, I did. I watched both of these, and I didn't think the Dum Dum Girls one, but the Duke Dumont one is fun.
Yeah, for sure.
That's pretty sure. Harsh. She can be harsh. Well, everybody. I think it's come to the end of our music video journey. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you like music videos. So, obviously, the site to go to if you like music videos is imvdb.com, Internet Music Video Database. Check us out on the, you know, whatever you want. Or don't follow us on Twitter. You know what? We don't give a shit. You know? I'm trying reverse psychology. Don't follow us.
We don't want you to follow us.
We're going to shut down our Twitter account right now and delete it all.
Black, we're going black.
So there we go. We'll see you guys next week, and of course, a happy birthday to Adam Alexander.
Woo!
My birthday!
See you guys next week.